Behold, what manner of love the Lord has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. I thank God for the privilege on this beautiful Sabbath morning to be at Advent Hope. I'm filling in for someone, but I believe I made a commitment years ago that whenever I was asked to do something for the Lord, and I'm still in my right mind and in health of body and soul, that I would do it. And I'm always happy to be here at Advent Hope, because this is a special place. The Holy Spirit is in this place, and it's joy for me to come and share the blessings that you are receiving here and to speak for the Lord. I remember well that beautiful May Day in 1957. Long time ago, many of you were still in anticipatory oblivion, but you're here now. Our family had come early to the harbor where the Arbroza Sky was preparing to sail for America. With a little time on our hands, my brother and I looked around the harbor. Not too far from the dock, we saw a scene that I shall never forget. It was that of a young sailor and his beloved saying goodbye. Now, sometimes we may be amused by the departure of loved ones, one from the other. But I want to tell you, I will never forget the agony and the despair on those two tear-stained faces. And you could read it in the tears, the questions that they had. Would a love hold true and strong in one another's absence? Would we ever see each other again? A short time later, with hundreds of people on the pier waving, amid sobs and sadness mixed with shouts and laughter, this huge 18,000-ton ocean liner moved away from the dock. And just about that time, the band began to play Auf Wiedersehen. My heart was torn, because those sentiments were in my heart as well. Will I ever see my home country again? Will I ever see my sister, my two brothers who were waving at us goodbye? Would I ever see them again? There is a loneliness and a pain in separation. And there are so many lonely people in the sinful world. Perhaps some right here on campus at Loma Linda. Perhaps some right here in church. Separated from friends, families, perhaps even the homeland. Separated by distance, sickness, death, perhaps broken relationships. Now, if you're one of these people, or in the past have been, this morning, you will better understand the topic that we would like to think about: God's loneliness. God's loneliness, perhaps somewhat of a strange thought. But as you think about it and meditate upon it, it becomes very meaningful in the light of the songs we sang this morning. Oh, God was so eager for Christmas. It meant everything to him. That night, that holy night, what a holy night it was and will always remain, when divinity condescended into the very depths of sin to assume the body of the sinful race. Why should God be lonely? He's the creator of the universe. He has the stars, the constellations, including all the angelic hosts and all other beings. And yet this morning, God is lonely. Because God is lonely for you and for me. Why is God lonely? Because God created for a purpose. That purpose was love. Love has a very inherent creative nature. Love was the reason for creation, and love was the goal. The heavenly council got together and said, let us love again. And let us love uniquely. In Colossians 1:16 it says, for by him were all the things created that are in the heaven and the earth. All things were created by him and for him. So he'd have someone more to love and be loved. In Isaiah 54, it says, I have loved you as a husband loves his wife. I love you. I want to be one with you. And we are told that man was a very unique order of being in the universe to answer the challenge of Lucifer regarding the character of God. And so now God went a step further in creating this planet and creating family relationships and procreation and all these other things that are involved in order to demonstrate the nature of his character, which is love. No doubt in the mind of God there was a beautiful picture of a richer and fuller love because of these new beings that he had just created. Perhaps in them he could reflect aspects of his character that he had not revealed in quite the same way. Man gave God the unique pleasure as somehow God's big heart of love could share itself in new and exciting ways. And now he could watch man grow and develop his capacities, becoming more and more like his Father, the Creator, his Lord. He could share more of his divine secrets with these objects of his supreme love, these beings who would understand more and more and enter more and more into his feelings and into his being. You know, I have a friend, had two boys. I remember he used to say, oh, Zeke, I can hardly wait for my boys to grow up. I like to go camping with them. I like to play ball with them. I like for them to share my life, my feelings, and my dreams. So when God and man walked and talked in the Garden of Eden, it was the beginning of the fulfillment of a beautiful dream. Isaiah 43:7 says, I have created him for my glory. We were to share in the glory of God. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. And I have an exciting future for the children of my birth and my creation. But we all know what happened. Sin has spoiled the plan. It must have been terribly, well, we know it was a terrible disappointment for God. Adam and Eve were not the only ones who suffered because of sin. God's heart right from the beginning, because now his dreams were shattered for the time being, at least temporarily reversed God's original plan. And if we compare the beautiful situation, you know, pitiful situation we find ourselves, as compared to God's original plan, it shall help us to remember that sin is a monster. Sin is not anything to take lightly. Sin is a terrible thing, disintegrating the very heart and purposes of God, destroying not only the happiness of man, but destroying the happiness of God, which he was dreaming about and has planned for. We are separated from God not because of God. We are separated from God because of sin. God has not separated us. Sin has separated us. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Oh, isolation, separation is a terrible thing. And it's interesting to note that on this planet, we use this phenomenon for punishment because it hurts so much. People are punished with separation, isolation. My college students have been able to care in prison ministry for 20 years in Lincoln. And many times I come to the Bible study in the evening, somebody be missing. And I say, where's Jack? Oh, Zeke, you don't know? He's in a hole. Well, the hole means extreme solitary confinement. Terrible. They're punished with isolation. I read recently in Sunshine magazine of a father complained to his neighbor. He said, things are a lot different now than they used to be. My son, he has a color TV, home movie set, stereo, radio, for his own phone, even a computer in his room. When I want to punish him, I have to send him to my room. In the book of Education, page 29, it says that sin not only shuts us away from God, but it destroys in man and in his soul both the desire and the ability for knowing him. Sin is terrible in this matter of separation. This planet is in quarantine. It's a very contagious condition that we are in. We are not in touch with other planets and other beings on other planets like we will be someday, because sin is a contagious disease. And so we are isolated from the rest of the universe. This planet is under quarantine, and this has caused God's great loneliness. God's heart is aching for man. He longs for fellowship. He longs for closeness, for unity, for oneness. In Psalms 103, 13 and 14, it says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those that love him and fear him. You know, you've been in the hospital, the nursery there, by the window and see parents coming with their noses squashed against the window pane. Their darling is inside, very, very sick, is isolated. Here they've been waiting for this little baby for months. Our little granddaughter lay between life and death for a whole week, the first week of its life, right here next to us. So I know something about that. They want to be united. This bundle of love is all love. Father loved mother. God loved them all. And there is the expression of heaven's love through mother and father. And they want to be united, but they can't. They're separated. And there's a pain and the tears kind of trickling down mom's cheeks as she looks upon her little darling, praying that he or she will do well. God is lonely for us this morning. He feels the pain of separation infinitely more than we do, because his capacity for love is infinitely greater than our capacity. So God has an answer to the sin problem. God's loneliness has caused him to break into quarantine. That's an awful risk to take. And he paid a price. His determination to win us back is so strong that they called his name Emmanuel. I'm going to bridge the gap. I can't stand it no longer. I will invade the territory of death to redeem my loved one, because we cannot be separated any longer. Emmanuel, the sacrificial love of God wrapped up in that name. In Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. You could have just as well said they will call his name sacrifice, because he will be determined to unite what is separated. God with us. The story is told of a young boy who had transgressed the rules of the household just once too many times, and he was being disciplined by his father. Son, said the father, because this must be a lesson for you that you will not soon forget, I'm going to have to ask you to sleep in the attic for the next 3 days. No, he hated the attic. It was dark and cold and scary up there. But the attic it was. The isolation seemed terrible to the small boy, as that night, fearfully and tearfully, he climbed the dark, narrow stairs to make his bed in the dark, narrow, in the attic as he went up the stairs, the dark, dark kind of isolated place. His parents went to bed too, but not to sleep. They were stirring back and forth. Finally, the father could stand it no longer. He got up, looked for a sleeping bag, and mother noticed what was happening. You're not going to come get him, bring him back down, are you? Oh, no, 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 I can't do that. The father took that sleeping bag, quietly made his way up the stairs, quietly rolled out his sleeping roll back next to his son. The son wasn't asleep either. Put his arm around his son and says, "Oh, sonny, I love you so much." And the son, he turned around in a sweet voice, "Daddy, I love you too so very much." The father in heaven couldn't stand that separation, and so his son came down and rolled his sleeping mat next to his beloved children on planet Earth. God with us, the original purpose of creation. God with us, the answer to the sin problem. God with us, the surety of deliverance. God with us, our comfort in a dark and sinful world. God with us this Sabbath morning, with you, lonely friend. If you are experiencing separation and loneliness, God with us. God longs to be received among us. In Exodus 25, verse 8, it says, "Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." The tabernacle stood in the center of the Jewish moving city. From it could be seen the glory of God, his presence. God could not be kept entirely away. No, he couldn't. Though kept apart by sin, God's strong love for his people wouldn't allow him not to come and be close. He wanted to live in the hearts of the Jewish encampment and the heart and life of every person back there. God has a universe, and yet today, he's lonely for his created people on planet Earth. He wants to dwell in our homes. He wants to dwell in our schools, in our churches, in our very hearts of those that love him. But so often, the tragedy happens over again. He comes to his own, and his own have no room. They're so busy with buying presents and gifts and so many cookings and many things that are happening. Is there any room for the love of mankind, the love of man's soul, Jesus? There's a German song that says, "Is there any room for Jesus?" There was no room when he was born in Bethlehem's manger. There was no room in the inn. There was no room in Herod's temple. There was no room in the mansions of the scribes and Pharisees. There was no room. They put him in a stable. Is there any room for him in my heart this morning? In John 1, verse 11, it says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jewish nation rejected him. Scribes and Pharisees persecuted him, even his own mother. And his brothers and sisters did not understand him. Jesus was a lonely figure on this planet. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He weeps over Jerusalem in Matthew 23, 27. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, my pride, my joy, how often would I have gathered you together like a hen gathers her chickens, but you would not. I longed for your love, your acceptance. Instead, he died of a broken heart because of the love that refused to return to him. He has not changed, and except for very few, the people on this planet haven't changed either. He longs for the love, is lonely for the companionship they will not give. When we ended up in West Germany after our flight by cattle train from East Germany, We had a neighbor who during World War II was taken to Siberia. There, missing in action, the family didn't know whether he was alive or dead, no communication with home. Through the years of trial and hardships, he was sustained by the dream of someday going home. Finally, the day came. How he hoped he could still find the family. How he hoped they would still be on the farm that he loved. His boy, Martin, was my schoolmate in school. He must be grown up now. He must be becoming a young man. My daughter, Irmgard, she was in this class with my sister. Oh, she must be becoming a young lady now. She was a little girl years ago. His wife, how he missed her. The anticipation and suspense mounted with every mile as the train rattled through Western Russia and Eastern Poland, Poland, East Germany, finally into Germany. His longing heart reached out to the fulfillment of his dream. He found his farm. There he found his family. Yes, his wife was there. But alas, there was another lover. She was engaged to be married to the hired man. How long does a woman wait, feeling the husband is dead in action in the war? No one to blame. It's a tragedy, a terrible tragedy. What a disappointment. What a heartbreak for that man who's been waiting for years to be back home, to be loved and to love again. Perhaps we can better understand when we think of it in those terms, how Jesus came unto his own. His own had another lover. Christ left behind the glories of an eternal world because he was lonely for you and for me. And there's pain in his loneliness that cannot be eased by others, created beings from other planets or even angels in heaven, but only by you and by me. I have a letter from Jesus. Now it's few days old, but it's so appropriate going with the thoughts that we're sharing this morning. A love letter from Jesus. Some of the older folks probably have heard it before, but it speaks to us again. My dear friend, and you can insert your name, how are you this Sabbath morning? I just had to send you this letter to tell you how much I love you and care about you. I saw you yesterday as you were walking with your friends. I waited all day hoping that you would come and talk to me also. As evening drew near, I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you. And I waited. You never came. Oh, it hurts me. But I still love you because I am your friend. I saw you fall asleep last night, and I longed to touch your brow, so I spilled moonlight upon your pillow and your face. Again, I waited, wanting to rush down so we could talk. I have so many gifts for you. You awakened late and rushed off for the day. My tears were in the rain. Today you look so sad, so alone. It makes my heart ache because I understand. My friends let me down and hurt me many times too. But I love you. I try to tell you in the quiet green grasses. I whisper to you in the colors of the flowers. I shout it to you in the mountain streams. And give the birds love songs to sing. I close you with sunshine and perfume the air. My love for you is deeper than oceans. and bigger than the biggest want or need you'll ever have. We will spend eternity together in heaven. I know how hard it is down here on this earth. I really know, because I was there, and I want to help you. My Father wants to help too. He's that way, you know. Just call us. Call me, ask me, talk to me. It's your decision. I have chosen you. And because of that, I will wait. Because I love you. Your eternal friend, Jesus. In Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will rush in and I will fellowship with you and he with me. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for the quiet moments in the house of worship this wonderful Sabbath morning. We thank thee for the love of God, so deep, so broad, so profound. And Lord, this morning, we understand that sin creates a loneliness. The separation is very painful to the heart of God, to the angelic host, to all the heavenly beings. And Lord, this morning, we sense thy presence. We hear the knock, the heavenly knock at our door. And Lord Jesus, we love thee. I want to love thee more and more. So we open our door and say, Lord Jesus, come in. Be our Lord, be our God, and take the throne in our hearts today and forever, until the glorious day when the heavens will break and roll away like a scroll, and we shall be forever united and see thee face to face and live for thee and love thee and be loved through eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a happy Sabbath.